You're listening to a rebroadcast of one of Art Bell's most popular programs. When you hear phone numbers, please do not call. Now, please enjoy this encore presentation of Art Bell.
All right, back now to Gary North. We're about to go to the phones. Gary, my wife made me ask about this. She said, ask him, please, about gasoline. Now, gasoline stations, which dispense gas to us when we go up and put the hose and the nozzle into the car, would that continue? Also, trucking, we're dependent on trucking here for supplies. Would they be able to get fuel to move? What would happen to the gas stations, a la the trigger effect?
If the electricity is down, they're down, because they all use electrical pumps.
No gas.
Not if the power's down. Second question is, if the power isn't down, now you get back to that wonderful scene in the trigger effect at the gas station. If you can't get your credit card cleared, then it has to be cash. And that will be a real debate and problematical situation. Let's give an obvious example, Art. If you were hiring a guy to take your $250,000 tank truck out, and you knew that guy was going to pick up the cash at those gas stations, which you and I had paid the gas station attendant to pump the gas,
right,
how would you know your money or your truck would ever come back? Our whole security system is based on electronic payment. If electronic payments go down, then you've got your problem of how do you actually collect from your trucker whatever he was paid in cash and get your truck back. My opinion is, there will be a drastic decrease of the amount of gasoline and the amount of trucking on the road.
All right. One more. Here's from a senior citizen who says, I depend on Medicare. Senior citizens depend on nursing homes. Everybody needs to be able to get their medication. What's going to happen?
You won't get it.
You won't get it.
You won't get it.
That's what's going to happen. All right. Here we go. First-time caller line. You're on the air with Gary North. Hi.
Hello, Art.
Where are you, sir?
This is Dave in Des Moines, listening on KXTK.
Hello, Dave.
Hi, how are you?
Fine.
I had a question for Gary. Assuming there's going to be complete societal chaos, military collapse, complete infrastructure collapse, I mean, I'm just scared to death, and I'm thinking it might be best to get the hell out of here. So where would a safe place to go be?
All right, a safe place.
Well, you're in Des Moines, which is actually among cities probably a pretty good area. I tell people, in most cases, if you get water, you've overcome your biggest problem.
Mm-hmm.
That is water that is not dependent upon electricity to pump. You could probably go an hour outside of town and buy a vacation property. Call it a vacation property.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to call it a survival property. Your wife wouldn't like that property. But call it a vacation property, an hour, 90 minutes outside of town, put a mobile home on it, and a well. If you were to do that, in all honesty, you would probably increase your likelihood of getting through this thing by 50, 60, 70%.
A mobile home and a well.
Yeah. It doesn't sound like a lot of money, and compared to what most people have in their 401ks, it isn't a lot of money, but people won't do it.
Well, that's what I've got, a mobile home and a well.
Yeah. Actually, Art, you probably will make it. We just won't be able to listen to you.
That part of it bothers me a lot. It's like I should do a Y2K program. I'll be on the air that night. God, I'll be on the air. I'll go on the air. Well, let's see. It'll already be Y2K time by the time I go on the air on the East Coast. So maybe I won't be on the air that night.
Be interesting to see.
Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Gary North. Hello.
Hello. This is Marianne. I'm calling from Ventura.
Ventura, yes.
My question is, I've read, and I'm sorry I can't cite the exact source because I don't remember, but under the rules or auspices of FEMA, I've read that the government will have the authority to confiscate food supply no matter where the source is from.
Now, that's a very good point. In other words, there will be some with food, there will be many or most without food, but as she points out, there is this presidential directive that some have heard about that would allow the confiscation of food.
I have looked for that. FEMA is incredibly dead silent on this issue, given the fact that FEMA really is in charge of emergency management in this country. There is nothing that I have been able to find on the FEMA site, and I've looked, relating to the year 2000.
How can that be? I mean, that is their mandate.
Yes, you bet it is, and that's what is so incredibly suspicious. Because of any topic that ought to be on the FEMA site, it's this one. Now, admittedly, if some of you out there are web surfers, if you find out something, go to my site, communicate with me, send me the link, I'll put it up. But I've looked, I can find nothing on the FEMA site related to Y2K.
All right, east of the Rockies, you're on the air with Gary North. Hi.
Hi, this is Wanda in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Hi, Wanda.
And I'd like to ask your guest a question. Well, first of all, I want to say you definitely have my attention. It's the first time I've been frightened of anything in my life.
Okay.
I own my own home, and I've been one of these people that was very diligent to make sure I paid all my bills and I don't owe anyone anything. And I would like to ask what Mr. North's advice would be for a person who, I'm 50, and I own my own home, I don't owe anyone anything, and I have a very limited cash flow.
Okay.
Could I ask, did you say Raleigh?
Yes.
In the city limits?
No. I'm 20 miles outside of city limits.
Mm-hmm.
I own my home, and I have a well that pumps, it's an artesian well, so I've got 100 gallons a minute.
Well, basically, I would tell you, you've done what 99% of the public would like to do or will want to do in 2000. You've done it. You are in much better shape than the vast majority of Americans. My opinion is the most important thing you do, get some food in and make certain that you can pump that well. It indicates that you can. I would say sit tight. It sounds to me as if you're in a much better situation than most people.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Right.
I'll be listening for further. Thank you all.
Thank you, ma'am. And I know this is a very sensitive question, but as you recall, in that movie that we talked about tonight, The Trigger Effect, which, by the way, I've been recommending to people before we even talked, things quickly got out of hand. Now, if you have a lot and somebody else has a little, they're going to want to take what you've got away. And it brings up a sensitive question of protecting what you've got. Any comments?
Are you speaking to me?
Oh, yes.
You lost her. Yes, indeed. I think, we're all here. Good. I think the right of self-defense is certainly legitimate. And I think, however, and this is important, Art, this is really important.
Sure.
The key to that movie, as I think about that movie, the key fact of the movie was not the trigger, but the effect.
That's right.
The key to that movie is understanding the breakdown of community. Because at the end of the movie, they do get to go back to the city. Somehow the lights are restored.
That's
but
right.
It is clear as he's sitting on his front porch that he'll never trust his neighbors again.
That's right.
And that theme, it was subtle but powerful in the movie. It was the story of the breakdown of community trust. And that's why I want to stress, and I really believe this, if you're in a situation where you have to have a gun to protect yourself, do whatever you can to get in a situation that's better, where you can trust your neighbors.
I hear you. All right, ma'am, have we answered your question?
Yes, but I'd like to ask one more question. When we had a Hurricane Fran that came up through from the coast, up through Raleigh.
I well remember.
Right. We were without electricity for about 9 days. It was absolutely miserable, and I live in a relatively small community housing development outside the city. Everyone did band together because of the no one had generators, so we had to use all of our frozen food. And as a small community, which was shocking to everyone, we didn't know each other, and you know, like shared food. But you know, if this thing happens, I'm going to be probably the only person on this property lot that has enough water for everyone.
Well, you're going to be a popular lady.
Well, maybe I can barter. Is that how this is going to work?
I think that's perfectly legitimate.
Thank you, ma'am. Bartering. That would be another alternative to cash, wouldn't it? Bartering.
Yes.
I've got this. You've got that.
Yep.
That's trade.
But remember, Art, yes, it can be done. But the brilliance of the free market modern economy is that you do it by money, because barter is not very efficient. I mean, if you don't have what I've got, I'm out of luck.
No, it's desperate, of course, but I mean, it is one possibility of obtaining something you want.
Yes, that is correct.
Okay, west of the Rockies, you're on the air with Gary North. Hello.
Hi, this is Scott from Arizona.
Hello, Scott.
You'd be happy to know my computer is January 1st, year 2000. It's about 114. That seems to be running okay. that answered your question about checking your computer. My major question was if everything's relating down to is they're not upgrading their systems because of money, correct?
That's one reason.
If they don't upgrade and everything goes down, there's not going to be any money anyway. Why don't they upgrade now? I don't understand that at all.
All right.
Because people defer until next quarter and the next quarterly budget report making any decision involving the expenditure of large quantities of money. And you can see that if the 100 largest companies of America, if two-thirds of them have not yet even developed a plan to deal with Y2K, which is what Rubin says, and I believe him, then we got a situation where deferral and denial are dominant in the thinking of the decision makers, because nobody wants to be blamed for spending $200, $300, $500 million. That's what has been budgeted by Citicorp, $600 million. $300 million, Bank of America, actually $350 million. $300 million with Chase Manhattan Bank. Now, they haven't spent it. They've spent maybe a quarter of it, but that's the kind of numbers we're talking about, and nobody wants to do it.
Yeah, but you're not going to have any money.
Yes.
That's nothing when you have no money flowing in.
That, you got it.
I just don't grasp that at all.
Because it's not their money. It's not their personal money. What they have to hope for, and I think you're going to see it beginning early next year, is that they can cash out their position and go into quiet retirement with their whatever they get for their retirement obligations, and they're going to sell on their stock options, and off they're going to go.
Is there going to be a lot of that? I mean, people liquidating a sort of a circle of people who will be in the know, who will liquidate and go away quietly for a while?
That's one of the things you want to look for those of you who are stock watchers, is insider trading early next year. The legal liability that these people will face is so gigantic that the general estimate is in the United States of $1 trillion of litigation.
Of course.
In the year 2000 and beyond, if the system holds. It will be the ultimate feast day of the lawyers if the system holds.
Oh, there's no question about it. Thank you, caller. Look, if for example, I went off the air, Rush Limbaugh went off the air, the company that airs us, that sponsors us, is going to sue the providers who were not ready, and that's the reason we went off the air. So there, you're damn right they're going to sue them.
They're going to sue them.
There's going to be a lot of litigation going on.
And I think it's going to go in the case of board and trustee members. It will not just be corporate. It will be personal. They'll say it's personal liability.
Yep.
And the lawyers are gathering. I have a whole section on my website under litigation. You can see the extent to which the lawyers are putting on seminars for each other on how to get ready for Y2K litigation.
Like circling vultures. First time caller line, you're on the air with Gary North. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Is that me?
Yes, you.
Okay.
Where are you?
I've been listening. I'm in San Diego.
Okay.
And one good thing I have going for me is that I don't have a lot of money somewhere. Unfortunately, I also rely on SSI. I'm a young mother with four children.
Oh, boy.
Very poor. And I've been listening to you for about a year now. And the thing about your radio station that fascinated me was mostly the comment things and all the different things about the stuff. And I try to talk to my family about it because it's exciting. Well, now I'm scared. Death. I can't sleep. I got you on every radio station in my house. And I said, okay, I'm calling. I wrote down my little lamp number.
All right. Well, I hate to say this, but I bet that it's true. We'll ask Gary. Usually when this kind of thing happens, the people with means make out the best, and the poor people, particularly those dependent on our government for checks, I'm sorry, but are going to be the ones that are going to get hurt the most. Is that true, Gary?
If they're in the cities, it is.
Uh-huh, yeah, I'm in a small city, but...
San Diego's pretty good size.
Yeah, I'm in a small city in San Diego, and I don't know what to do. I talk to my family that does have money. They do have jobs. My aunt works for a big company that makes a lot of money in computers, and, you know, you talk to her about, oh, don't worry about blah, blah, blah. She's bragging about money she's making now. It's going to be gone. Then what are they going to do? What am I going to do? Because nobody that does have money right now that could set up something ahead of time don't listen to me, you know.
They don't listen to me either. They don't listen to me either, so don't feel bad.
Well, what is this, where can I mean, get more information if I want to, you know, I don't have internet anymore and stuff like that. I do have a computer, which is bothering me because I'm not knowledge in the computer thing. And
okay.
I don't know what's going to happen. I can't go good... in and turn the clock back.
All right. All right, now listen on the air. Go ahead, Gary.
All right, one thing you can do, almost every large city public library now has internet connection, usually for free.
That's right.
So I would go to the library if you really want to study this thing, and you can go to my site, www.garynorth.com, and what I've done, and I did this deliberately, on my site, you can click through to the original document that I'm quoting from, and you can read it for yourself or print it out. I wanted verification that people say, yeah, he's not faking it, there really is documentation on this. So I would go to the public library and spend a couple of hours, if you can, in a week or maybe, you know, go on a Saturday, mm-hmm. and just look at it for yourself.
Do you think that most people who go through your material are going to believe it? I mean, does it seem, when you read through it and really take your time, to be irrefutable?
Belief is a very complex thing, Art. Belief has to do with people's conditions and what they think they can do in response and what they've been raised to believe. Belief is not just looking at documents. But I will say this. I have really devoted a lot of time, probably close to 1,500 hours that I could have been using on my own personal preparation to create this site, to say at least, if I'm going to make these wild conclusions, I at least have provided the best evidence that I can to justify the conclusions, and then people get to make up their own minds. All that I could do.
Good enough, Gary. That's generally what I do on this program, too. Hold tight. We'll be right back. It's the bottom of the hour. Gary North is my guest. He's up late, never up this late, so I really want to thank him for hanging in there with us to tell this story tonight. This is Coast to Coast AM. Gary, what is likely to occur to the telephone system? I was just sitting here thinking, you know, if I couldn't give out 800 numbers, not that I'd be on the air, but I'd be out of biz anyway.
Yeah. By the way, Art, let me say with respect to that, if I get cut off, it's because we're starting to get one of these Arkansas lightning storms, so it's not because I'm angry, it's because we got hit. Just a warning.
I understand. The weather, by the way, has been turning rather south on us.
Now, the question of the telecommunications is really crucial for both of our businesses.
You bet.
For obvious reasons. I would like to believe that the companies have it ready to go, that there's not going to be a problem. They are really silent on it. There is almost nothing published. What little that is published is the standard form letter stuff that says, well, we'll be ready to test this in late 98. And we'll probably get it done sometime next year. And I wish them the best. But the complexity of 500 million lines of code is very great complexity, which is what AT&T is facing. The Telecom Managers Association, the president of it, of Great Britain, has said that he thinks there's a very real possibility that nobody will be able to phone out of Britain in the year 2000. That, of course, would shut down the banking system.
Yikes.
Because the computers couldn't communicate with each other. So, again, I don't want to overstate it. I'll simply say this. There is no evidence that any telecommunications company is at present compliant, and there's no evidence that I have ever seen published on the web that says the interconnections between the various companies, that that problem has been solved. I am assuming, however, that the banks are totally vulnerable, even if the telcos aren't, so they can call my 800 number, but I don't think they're going to be able to buy, because I think you're going to have a banking crisis.
Yeah, I hear you. All right, this is an average Joe kind of question, and then we'll go back to the phones. Most people make a car payment. Most people make a mortgage payment, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we certainly have those in utility payments. Now, if the power goes off, don't have to worry about the utilities. But what about car payments? What about people that we owe money to? What about mortgage payments? Are cars going to be repossessed? Are houses going to be foreclosed on? Why?
Very doubtful. And now we get back to that original question you raised, Art, which was, well, if I think it's going to happen, do I go out and run up the charge card? The
That's
answer
right.
is, of course people are going to do that, because they'll figure out there'll be almost no way to get repossessions. The court system will be so jammed up, if it exists at all, it will be so jammed up with who owes me what in the billion-dollar range that the little nickel-and-dime stuff of 1,000 here and 1,000 there is not going to be relevant. Those issues will never get settled. The difficulty is the companies that relied upon those payments will be out of business. That's why I think you're going to have a horrendous bankruptcy rate for what you have just described. People won't pay.
People won't pay, and they'll stay right where they are.
They'll stay because they have no choice but to stay where they are. So my opinion is you are going to see a collapse. I mean, absolutely no questions asked, collapse of those large mortgage lending organizations, federally insured lending organizations, because they will be stiffed by literally tens of millions of mortgage holders who will simply stop paying. And there's no way to come repossess the house. You couldn't get it through the courts. And even if you did, who are you going to sell it to?
I think I'm starting to get a headache.
Now, from the Kingdom of Nye, more Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell. Here again is Art.
First time caller line, you're on the air with Gary North. Hello.
Good morning, Art.
Good morning. Where are you?
Out in cyberspace, listening through AudioNet.
Well, I mean, but physically.
Oh, okay. Well, not too far from you, over in El Paso.
El Paso, Texas. All right.
Yeah, I'm a dinosaur. I'm one of the programming dinosaurs Gary's talking about. Speaks COBOL, Assembler, Fortran, and all those dead languages. And believe me, he's understating the degree of the problem and what has happened over the last, in my case, 26 years. Some of us had the good sense to see what was coming, but in every case, we would get overruled, gone behind our backs, have the code ripped out, have the space ripped out. And it's just, I don't even know what the word I'm looking for is, malicious negligence?
Well, programmers are pretty smart people. Shouldn't they have seen what would, I mean, even if you take it from after the punch card days and when we finally got into real computers, at that point, shouldn't the alarm bells have been going off?
They were.
For people like you?
They were.
They were.
We did. And management overruled us. Do you have any, the argument being, we can't afford two extra characters for a date in that record? I mean, look how many records we've got. We'll have to buy an extra disk drive.
Yeah, and they were expensive then.
Oh, yeah. I mean, $50,000. I mean, and, I mean, I at one point was ripped a new one from both sides for wanting to include a mechanism to take care of this problem in some systems because, you know, The argument that I was given was, who cares? We won't be working here by then. And Art, this was in a criminal justice system.
Great.
Imagine what it'll be like when it rolls over and suddenly hundreds of millions of criminal records disappear.
Can that happen, Gary?
Art, I do prison evangelism, or at least did until I moved to Arkansas, with a maximum security prison in Texas. And I was friends with one of the guys who's sort of your jailhouse lawyer type.
Right.
And I warned him over a year ago. I said, don't make a lot of noise, but be certain that the guys you work with have got paper records of when they are to be released and that those records must be in their possession. Because I said they're going to lose your records. And you've got to be able to prove that if you're legitimately allowed to get out, that you will get out. I warned them. Yes, what he's telling is guaranteed.
And the worst part about it, if even wanting to do anything about it now, is I'd say in the last 12 to 15 years, the mindset of management and the programming and the data processing industry changed so much that programming ceased to be an art. It became a job that any bozo off the street could be taught with all the new programming techniques, where you didn't have to know diddly about anything. And now you've got offices full of 20 and 30 year olds that wouldn't know a packed date if it jumped up and bit them.
All right, thank you, caller. That's true then. And these older programming languages, Gary, in order to fix this in a lot of cases, as you point out, they're not going to be able to do it in the older programming languages. We don't have the programmers for that. What about rewrites in the newer language?
It's too late. Look, Art, he's talking about a mindset that was built into management 20 years ago that wouldn't pay. These systems are gigantic. The interconnections are gigantic. We're not talking about small systems. They're huge systems that we're talking about here, with interconnections into the millions. Let me give you an example, and I've got this on the site. There was an Air Force system that they went into to try to fix. That system had 70, that's 70, different computer languages in the one system. All of them, except for COBOL and maybe Assembler, all of the rest of them virtually forgotten. These languages, these systems have been built 25 and 30 years ago, and the guys who built them are gone. They're dead or retired.
Yeah, like that guy, retired.
Like that guy.
And he tried to point it out a long time ago and got absolutely nowhere.
That is what happened to any of them who tried to point it out. Their careers were on the line, and management did not want to listen. There's joint responsibility in this, but ultimately, management's got the bucks. And if management won't do it, the programmer is stuck, just like he was.
So programmers in these languages are going to be real popular guys for a while.
For a period, they will be popular, and the best of them are getting huge amounts of money, the really most skilled ones. But remember, Art, these guys are not dummies. They can look and they can say pretty confidently that one of two things will happen. Either the company I work for is going to go belly up sometime in the second half of 99 or early 2000, or I'm going to fix it, and then they're going to fire me again. They're not real interested in going back to New York City if they're sitting on the beach in Boca Raton.
No, that's true. Wild Card Line, you're on the air with Gary North. Where are you, please?
I'm in Wichita.
Wichita, Kansas. Yes, sir.
Yes. I work on Y2K projects, and he is right about the fact that there's an awful lot of source code out there that's obsolete. But the one thing about it I do know, because I work on IBM mainframe, that IBM has done an awful lot with the new upgrades to their operating system over the last 10 years to force these companies into Y2K compliant. In fact, this is what we're doing right now for the company that I'm under contract to, is we're in the process of converting all their software into full compliance with Y2K, and we'll be ready to go by the end of this year as far as the thing being productional.
Well, that's really good, but even if you are compliant, if all the people you deal with, your suppliers, the people who buy from you, if they have no electricity and no phones and no internet.
Well, I'll make you a bet that they'll have the internet, they'll have the supplies and everything else, because one of the things you're running into, you know, he talks about putting the century on the date.
That's right.
In most cases, if you go out and start looking at the new date routines, they don't carry century. They're basing it off of a base date that, say, well, an example with the IBM, of the new IBM software, they use a date that they call Lillian date, which is the number of days that have elapsed, say, for the current date from the year of, well, it's December 31st, 1600. And the same way, there's another system.
Okay, I'm not qualified to answer this, Gary.
Well, there's another thing. Gary made a comment about the criminal justice system in our...
Okay, but one thing at a time.
Okay.
Attack the first one, Gary. Do you know anything about that?
That's one option that they're using. Our problem, Art, is that he can't repair all the systems. IBM, sir, is not compliant, is it? Neither is EDS. The companies themselves are not compliant. They're hiring outsiders to get compliant. IBM is not compliant as a company. If this is so easy to fix, how come the guys selling the services like EDS and IBM have not got their own companies compliant? This is the blind leading the blind. Those companies aren't compliant. What do you think is going to happen to IBM if you're right? The magnitude of the lawsuits, will there be a trace of IBM in 2001 when the lawyers get through with that company? Not a chance. They'll be blamed for it all. Every company dependent upon an IBM product or someone like you working for IBM, those companies, those individuals will have a big neon sign that says, lawyers, come and get me.
You have any comments, Colin?
Well, I have a comment for him. If I were the lawyers, I wouldn't plan on it. Another comment I want to make to him.
the lawyers are planning for it.
I know they are planning for it, but I'm saying that it's not as big an issue as he's making it to be.
All right, well, go ahead with something
else.
Okay,
another point I want to make to him. You were talking about the Arkansas criminal justice system.
I was talking about the Texas, but go ahead.
Okay, the Texas is probably pretty much in the same shape because they've been forced into compliance. They were forced into compliance about 4 years ago as far as Y2K was concerned by the federal government. Once again, because I'm a contractor, I was in Arkansas when they were in the process of rewriting those systems. And the same way with the new child support enforcement systems, if I were somebody who was making child support payments, don't plan on getting by with not making those payments as of year 2000, because once again, those systems are in compliance.
How are you going to pay them? You going to write a check?
You have to write a check, or you can go down and pay them in cash. I do it.
I got it.
I do it every two weeks.
Caller, hold on a second. Go ahead, Gary.
Sir, there ain't going to be any banks. There's no compliant bank on Earth. There's no money center bank that's compliant. How are you going to write the check?
I want to ask you a question.
He asked you a valid question.
What's that?
There is no compliant bank. How are you going to write a check?
Okay, I want to ask him a question.
Wait a minute, caller. Answer that one first.
Okay. First of all, I disagree with him.
Okay, would you please name the compliant bank and tell me how you found out?
Okay, well, you answer me a question. What do you define as compliant?
I define as compliant any bank that will let its lawyers write to the customer to say, this bank is 2000 compliant, and we have let go all of our 2000 Y2K repair staff because we don't need them. Citicorp can't do it. Chase Manhattan can't do it. Bank of America can't do it. No Japanese bank can do it. Come on. Let's get real.
Okay,
these
we're not in compliance because we are in the process of getting it done.
Lots of luck, Jack.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, I'll make you a bet. Since you're in Arkansas and I'm in Arkansas, year 2000, when it comes to pass, I'll meet you at the Steak and Ale. If you lose, you will buy, if we lose, I'll buy you dinner there.
What are you going to buy it with?
I got cash.
Come on, man.
All right.
That's a no-win situation for me. If I'm right, you can't pay. Let's go on. Let's talk something serious. Where's the compliant bank?
Yeah, that's pretty serious. He has no answer for that.
Okay.
And every time I tried to get him to answer that, he simply wanted to ask you another question. So there you are. We are at the top of the hour. You've got a break, and I'm sure you need one, Gary, so hold on, and we'll be back to you after the break at the top of the hour. I'm Art Bell, and, of course, this is Coast to Coast AM, and we are absolutely swamped with requests for copies of this program already. So let me give you the number, and if you can't get through now because they are swamped, just keep trying. It will be, by the time it's over, it's going to be a four-hour program, and it's probably a program that you want to get and give to a friend or give to a business or give to your business associates, I would think. The number to get a copy is 1-800-917-4278. That is a 24-hour number, but right now it's going into utter logjam. That number again is 1-800-917-4278. We'll take a break, check out the news at the top of the hour, and be right back. I'm Art Bell, and this is a very thought-provoking Coast to Coast AM.